Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host this afternoon. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. Once again, our focus is going to be on the two frustrating cases out of Florida, Haley Cummings and Kaylee Anthony. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show.
And I do want to let everyone know that tomorrow is Jan's birthday. So everyone needs to wish her a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jan.
Thank you.
So what's it like to be 21, Jan?
Oh, it's really, it's amazing. I can go out and have a drink now.
Well,
legally.
Legally, yeah. none of that climbing in the, the window into the men's bathroom, you know, sneak by the bouncer.
Okay. Those days long gone.
from Gainesville, Florida, we have Ace Reporter and the Director of News and Programming for the Sky 97.3, T.J. Hart. T.J., how's your day going?
Yeah, so far so good. I'm glad to be able to spend a little bit with you today on the show. My time might be a little limited, but tell you what, a very productive week, and I can't wait to get the show started.
And from the state of Maine, we have investigator Peter Hyatt. Peter, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How's everyone there?
Oh, just fine. And I do believe we might have the late Denny Griffin with us. Is that
the
you,
late?
Denny?
Yeah, Simon, I'm not sure about that introduction. let's use the word tardy.
Yes, especially the crowd he hangs out with.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that was an interesting crowd you got me hooked up with yesterday.
Yes, it was very entertaining and very informative, I thought.
Indeed. And I got an email a couple of hours ago with a delightful prospect. I think we could all end up being targets.
Yeah, if it's the same email I saw, it has a lot of intriguing possibilities.
Indeed. We're going undercover. We're going to be changing our names. As always, our phone lines are open, and we welcome your questions and comments. The number to call is 646-378-1120, and you're also welcome to ask your questions in our chat room. So let's get the program started. Let's kick off with an update in the Kaylee Anthony case. Jan, you've been following this more than I have. What happened this week?
Well, there's not really that much in the news this week. One thing I did hear about is that the Anthony's home was supposed to go. They were supposed to go to court to Friday, I think it was, for the foreclosure on their home, but it was it was postponed for some reason or another. That I don't know why. There was no reason given, but it was postponed at canceled at the last minute.
Oh, okay, I have a question about this, and I'm no expert on the foreclosure business, but it's always been my understanding that basically 3 months and you're done, the bank wants it back. Yet what's being reported in the news is that these folks are like almost a year behind.
They said at least $7,000 worth. They said their notes is $785 a month. And they're behind at least $7,000 on it.
Okay, so that puts them 9 months behind.
Yeah, I know. If I let mine go that long before, it would have never lasted with me.
You know, I TJ, I know you're not a financial expert, but...
I know how to spend money, by golly, you ask my wife.
but, I mean, isn't your understanding, you know, 3 months, three strikes?
They're trying real hard, especially, you know, in some locations. They're trying real hard to keep folks in their homes as best they possibly can, as long as they're making some sort of an effort. And, you know, they try to go case by case if they're in a smaller local, like a community bank or a credit union or something like that. However, if you're working with the big folks, it's usually 90 days and the tough talking starts, and your days are pretty few. But I think they're trying to give folks enough wiggle room to try to not be a statistic for the most part. It's chancy on business, but it depends on how good your business is. Some people, when you give them a chance, they come through for you in blazing colors, and others will just burn you. So, usually it's 90 to 120 days they start making the noise that, foreclosure's coming.
Okay, but in their case, I mean, if they go to court on this, surely it's going to come out. I mean, I don't know if they can bring it out or not, but it's common knowledge that everybody knows the money that they've had that they have went through. What is it? Just recently, CBS come out with some more pictures, but they claim that it's from the original deal where they had paid them $20,000 just for the pictures, and none of it went towards their mortgage. So, I mean...
Yeah, that's going to be troublesome, and,
right.
You know, you're almost cruising for a bruising when you're very blatant like that, you know?
Exactly. They went through a lot of money. They went on this cruise, and, I mean, not just George and Cindy, but the son and the son's girlfriend also went on this cruise, and it was, public knowledge. Everybody knew about it. There was pictures all over the newspapers and online about it. That would be kind of hard to explain how come they couldn't pay, if they could do all this, how come they can't pay their mortgage like everybody else can. I mean, we all...
I'm sure that's going to come out in the wash after, you know,
right.
With all this being public knowledge and what have you.
Right.
So.
I'm sure. I don't see how they can keep it out of the courts.
Would you view this as them getting preferential treatment just because of who they are?
Well, that certainly would be one explanation. I'm having a tough time coming up with any other explanation. So that it sounds like it to me, and I'm just wondering if they happened to listen to your show yesterday, maybe they picked up some tips about how to come up with some mortgage money.
Oh, my Lord.
For those who don't know, Simon's show yesterday was discussing bank robberies, and so and one of his guests said he didn't want to go into too much detail. That's right.
Yeah, we had two ex-bank robbers on the panel. It was, to say the least, an interesting program. You know,
rather colorful.
Oh. I learned something. You know, if you're going to plan a bank heist, you need someone called Crash Guy. And the deal is, it's part of the escape. You know, you have the money bags, you jump in your escape car, and, you know, there's a chance that the cops, or more likely some, you know, innocent bystander is going to step up to the plate and chase you. So the crash guy's job is to crash into the car.
Wow.
You know, Simon.
Yeah, like this.
Simon.
Go ahead, Denny.
I didn't mean to cut TJ off, but I was going to say, I wonder now, years ago, I used to go to a lot of demolition derbies, and I always thought I saw mobsters hanging around. I wonder if they were auditioning, looking for applicants for their crash guys.
That could very well be.
Well, back to this with the house, though, being in foreclosure. I would, if it was under normal circumstances, you know, I would, because they've been under a lot of stress and all this, and, you know, you would say, well, somebody would have some kind of consideration with everything that they've gone through. But if it wasn't for the fact that they had been spending money, I mean, every time you turn around, it looks like they buying something new, or they're doing this, or they're doing that. I don't have no sympathy at all for them, and I think that they don't deserve preferential treatment. as far as I'm concerned.
Peter, what's your view on this foreclosure? Do you think they're getting preferential treatment?
I do. I think the Bank of America is moving very slowly because of the publicity. But what the Bank of America had said, and this is going back a few months, is that they went 9 months without a single payment or even a partial payment. They made no effort to make payment. So that I think it's going to be problematic. When they go before even a court mediation, they're going before a live person that is going to have questions and saying, well, not only is the Bank of America saying you didn't make payment or partial payment, the Bank of America is saying you didn't return phone calls, return letters, return certified
right.
letters. You did nothing. So I think it speaks to the arrogancy and the entitlement mentality that Cindy Anthony has shown.
You don't wait till the day that you go into court for the hearing for the foreclosure to try to help, you know, make arrangements or work with them or something like that. You don't wait till then to tell the judge, well, look, we're really sorry. We would like to try to make payments on it or make some kind of arrangement. You don't wait till then to do it. And I think they are expecting special treatment.
I think that's
just who they are.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that arrogant mentality is best seen when Cindy tried to trademark the name Kaylee Marie Anthony.
Right.
And she was just embittered at any dolls that were going out there that she wasn't making money off of. And this is a scary, spooky family. And the apples and the trees have been very close together here. I worry that parents would just think to themselves that, hey, I'm a new parent, and I've got this wonderful little girl, and I just hope she doesn't grow up to be a murderer. It doesn't happen like that in life. It's just not how it's made.
Yeah.
We're going to be getting on to another scary, spooky family in just a moment, but before we do, there was some other news this week. Apparently there were some documents released.
Yeah, there was some new documents released, but I haven't had a chance. We've been so busy that I haven't had a chance to go over them to see if there's anything, you know, earth-breaking in it or not. So I haven't seen anything come out that's shocking.
I took a peek, Simon.
You did?
Anything good?
I found something fascinating. Dr. Henry Lee, the expert, he may have inadvertently helped the prosecution. Dr. Henry Lee is obviously famous, but he found a few extra hairs that the Orange County crime techs missed, and they were brought in and they were found out to have that death wax or the fatty tissue in decomposition on them.
Oh,
so,
my.
Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more DNA to work with, and wow.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the point. It further buttresses the case, and well.
And they were expecting it to work opposite, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Actually, my favorite Dr. Lee story comes from the original O.J. Simpson criminal trial, where that they're asking him to identify which police officers were involved, talking about Furman and Furman's boss. And with a straight face, he replied, "I don't know. All you white guys look the same." Okay, let's move on to the other scary, spooky family. Hayley Cummings. I'd say it's been 72 hours of absolute insanity in the Barrett household, and TJ, I'm pretty sure that sums up your past 3 days as well.
Oh yes, indeed. I got to tell you, first of all, the audio was released with the blessing of folks from St. John's County Jail and a few other people, and in it you hear him 15 different cuts, basically trying to find some ticket out of jail is the short story. And some of the blaming and some of the peeing and moaning that goes on with this is just beyond the pale. But wait, there's more. I know you and I have been working on this, and I do want to thank our fine courier this husband and wife team from Jacksonville, who assisted us in getting the videos taken care of. A lovely couple. They're working on a cold case right now on a search in Georgia as we speak. But they dropped these off late last night, and I've been ripping them, and you've been ripping them too, trying to get the videos posted. I have all eight Misty videos up on the Sky973.com, and nine Tommies, as they were. And I know that you've got probably all of them, if not most of them by now, posted. And if you take a look at these, and Mr. Hyatt, I cannot wait for you to get a little time with these, not only the audio, but also the facial expressions that these people are using. It's beyond belief, some of the conversations that are being held, and it all seems to want to point to, yeah, this might be the best story we can make up and come up with to get out of jail in short form. Misty speaks about, Misty, of course, the babysitter, the last person to see young Haley the night she vanished back in February of 2009. She's talking about Cousin Joe and then kind of refers back to, well, it might have been a dream. Well, which is it, Toots? You know, she's not come up with a straight story yet, and I'm not believing anything. But, however, I believe there might be a nugget of truth in each and every version that she tells in order to try to throw people off. Tommy, on the other hand, he claims that he's getting used to prison, to jail life. He was scared out of his pants, quote. I don't know what that means in a jailhouse setting. But he goes on to say that he's getting used to it and he can just deal with the time until he gets out. But all in all, you hear a lot of blaming. You hear a lot of bitching and moaning about things. You hear the dad getting involved here, almost like he's upset with Misty, and then he's upset with Tommy, and then he's upset with his wife, who's facing some criminal charges of her own. And this guy, Hank Sr., and, you know, he's no angel. He's got some problems. He's looking at some doctor shopping charges as well as a few other things. He acts like he's just giving up on his own self, let alone his kids. This whole spew of things is just a trail of tragedy.
The delightful thing about Hank is, you know, you listen to him lecturing Misty about she shouldn't have got involved in drugs. And I'm going, huh?
Well,
Mr. Pot, meet Miss Kettle.
Not only that, but he's talking about that Lisa needs to get her act straight. I mean, it's very it's confusing, actually, to me.
Well, he's lived, what, 47 years of an unrehearsed act? Come on.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know. But in the videos, though, I mean, if you listen to them all, we've went through most of them, well, all the CDs we've went through. And, I mean, they contradict themselves when they talk into one, they tell that one story, then they come back and they tell another story, and then the next time it's something else. I mean, you can't, that's why I say, how can anybody believe these people? Because they
tell Jen, it's like when you just want to ask those kids, when weren't you lying?
Exactly. That would be easier to come up with when you tell them the truth, you know? Because it's ridiculous. I mean, I've listened here, and it makes me dizzy because I said, well, wait a minute. When the first thing I think, well, okay, well, I got this straight, they come and change it again.
Well, it's crazy. The spin, like you said, the spin is enough to make you nauseous. But I still have a feeling that they're telling partial truths with every lie they tell. And it's almost like a game as to whether or not anybody's bright enough to catch them. And only stupid people play a game like that, but that's just me. I'm just guessing, and that's as far as I'm going to venture on it.
I think he is 100% correct there.
Peter,
when they are lying.
Have you had a chance to listen to any of these?
No, they keep shutting down my browser every time I play the DVD rip. But TJ is correct, though. Within every lie, I think the statistic that the Laboratory for Scientific Interrogation says, it's up near 90% of every bold-faced lie has an element of truth in it. The reason being is, as they're lying, they're very quickly processing which words to choose, And the words they choose are often things that are on their mind, especially if they're nervous and frightened. So, but I have a question for everybody to bounce around. When Tommy expressed on tape how afraid he is, and we can understand he's afraid of going to prison, afraid of jail, when he was saying that he was fearing for his life and the life of his family, was he referring to Joe Overstreet, or was he referring to Ronald Cummings? And I have a reason for asking.
Well, yeah, I do too, because quickly, Flora Hollers was the one who jumped out and said Joe, and
right.
He half-ass agreed, but he didn't say yes, Joe, or no, Joe. He
right.
said, yeah.
She put it in his mouth, so to speak. But on one of the videos that I've seen this morning, he did, I think it was his father he was talking to, he said that if Misty was so afraid of Joe, why would she be so afraid of him when he was in a car on his way back to Tennessee? She could have called somebody if that was the case while he was gone, because he couldn't have got to her. Tommy said
mm-hmm.
that. So, I mean, he's contradicting what he's saying now, too, because, I mean, but like you said, it wasn't him that said the word Joe. It was his grandmother that said it. So...
Here's another thing that kind of plays into the mix. As we're picking through and kind of cherry picking little bits and pieces, I got to tell you, the Barretts will tell you the same thing. You're bombarded by images and words and flashes when you've gone through this much material this fast. It's almost like overkill. But one of the situations, I believe they were talking about Tommy and Misty sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
And... You know, suddenly Junior's alleged quip that came out about a week or so into the investigation about someone making the couch bounce comes into play. Then, of course, there's a dirty, ugly rumor that we're not going to repeat here because I don't feel like I have a good enough lawyer that would involve these two, and I don't want to be part of the circus. But that comes into play, too. So... how does this all fit? How does this wacky, psychotic jigsaw puzzle work now?
Well, Lisa was shushed up real fast when she mentioned that. So, I don't know.
Do you remember what Lisa's exact words were, Jen?
No. To be honest, no. I'd be lying if I said it. I can't remember exactly. All I know is that he stopped her. So...
Denny,
yes.
I doubt that you've had a chance to listen to any of this latest data dump.
I haven't, Simon. As you know, I was doing some cross-country traveling, so I'm using today as a catch-up day to catch up on all the news I missed.
Oh, that's okay. We just posted the video an hour ago.
Okay.
Yeah, no, literally it has been absolute insanity. We've had three computers over here wrapped up on the project all day, and TJ, I'm sure you've had at least one.
I had three or four going. Three or four going at the same time.
I don't think people realize quite, you know, the process that's required to bring this to the web.
No, they don't. They get pretty darn insistent that it be like a microwave oven too.
Yeah. Somebody come in and said, okay, thanks for these tapes. Where's the rest of them?
Yeah. Here, we'll get your bus ticket to Mississippi and one to Florida, and you can help us.
It's not so easy.
Yeah.
But we are doing the best we can.
Bring a couple of fast computers that can render.
Without blowing up.
You know, the one thing that I found interesting was the very curious family dynamics at work in the Crosslyn family. I mean, it's like lunacy. You know, you've got Hank lecturing people about not doing drugs. In the next breath, he's, you know, saying that, well, he may not be able to come and visit because he's only got a quarter tank of gas and he doesn't get paid till whenever. And he's got these fines to pay for Lisa. and, you know, Lisa has community service to do. In fact, maybe he shouldn't, or you know, this is him speaking, you know, maybe I shouldn't pay the fines, and maybe she shouldn't do the community service, because this next set of charges, she's probably going to end up in jail anyway.
Right.
I mean,
oh, for the forgery.
Right. So, I mean, you know, she could just, you know, deal with the whole thing in jail. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, the shoplifting thing. Yeah, and he's thinking, well, at least she'll be fed, and she'll be safe, and she'll have a place to sleep. That's just coming right from the heart, ain't it? Doesn't it just melt you?
We have a
well, I'll tell you what, guys. When I was go ahead.
No, carry on.
When I was interviewing the cast of characters very early into the game, you know, the Croslands caught my eye as kind of like the Addams Family, you know, with Wednesday there in jail. I'm sorry, Misty, and you know, Tommy was sort of an all right character. But he was a character, and you kind of felt like you had to keep your eye on him. He seemed like if he was hanging out with you or whoever he was hanging out with, he could get along with that set at the moment. But you probably wouldn't want to, you know, take your eye off him too much. Hank, on the other hand, he didn't want to talk to anybody because he thought whatever he had to say, this is in the beginning, had value. So he wanted to be paid for every interview. Marlene and Shivo from the Nancy Grace Show and I looked at each other like, what the heck? You know, your wife will talk, that's fine. You know, we'll try to make sentences out of what she says. But he wanted to get paid. So these people were whack from the beginning, you know. But anyway, now we're seeing it all on videotape.
So. Okay, let's go out to the phone lines. We have someone coming in from the 724 area code, which I believe is Pittsburgh. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, it's Peggy. I don't see a big difference between the Croslands or the Anthonys. Nobody thinks in long terms. They just do short little scams. But and happy birthday, Jan.
Thank
I've
you.
Been 21 twice now, and I'm going on my third. So, I had a question for you, though, and I'm sorry to jump back to the Anthony case, but do you have any idea what Jose Baez was talking about when he was wanting to bring in this fossil expert? That was one of his experts he wanted to bring in, and I thought, I don't know what fossils would have to do with poor little Kaylee's body.
I don't have an answer for that myself. I have no idea.
Neither does Jose.
Yeah, probably not.
Did you
say fossils? Well, the taxpayers are paying for it. Maybe the guy needed a paycheck, you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thanks.
I mean, Baez wants an expert on everything. I mean, I listened to...
Well, if you were handed your case, the case he's got, wouldn't you...
Baez doesn't like callers like Peggy coming in and asking those type of difficult questions for him. DJ, you got me on a roll. I'm sorry. With the Addams Family, I can't get past
that.
It.
I honestly don't have an answer for it, but I mean, everything that Baez does, I question anyway. I mean, he just doesn't make any sense, a lot of it. I think he fishes around just for things to ask for.
He wanted two experts on the subject of dog handling. I mean, you know, what's that got to do with the price of eggs?
I don't know.
Exactly. It's the red herring that he's looking for. Anything.
Exactly.
I mean, what would the having that embarrassing witness up about the death penalty and how it's a sexist that an application... Now having an expert in fossils and anything he can grab onto, to me, I think he'll be best remembered for ugly coping. It's probably the best.
Probably.
Okay, let's shoot out to the phone lines again because they're lighting up. We have someone coming in from the 512 area code. Well, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, Simon. Hi, everybody. This is Kathy, and I wanted to wish Jan a happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I have a question. How long has it been now since they supposedly took the cinder blocks and the rope to test for forensics?
For one, my people have never seen a rope, and Ellie has never really said what they had.
Okay.
Those were just items that were seen by a couple of eyewitnesses and, oh, maybe an intern from the University of Florida. I'm kidding. But the blocks were seen by other people. The rope, I don't know whether that's in play, but that's been about a month.
And so we have heard zip on the forensics?
And you probably won't hear zip on it until they have somebody in charged with anything. When it's an ongoing investigation like this, I know that all of us want to know more, and believe me, we really do. But
right.
The fact of the matter is they got this little thing called the Constitution and some things that are set up to in order to ensure a fair trial, fair and speedy trial. And,
right.
And they don't want to. And if I were law enforcement and if I felt I was this close after 15, 16 months, I would not be doing anything to jeopardize the case.
Right. You have to understand that.
That's the unfortunate thing.
But, you know, I think at this point, if for sure they found, say, let's just say Misty's fingerprint or Juan or whoever on the cinder blocks or the rope or something concrete, pardon the pun, would you know, they probably would have been in arrest by now. So,
I think what they're looking for is the silver bullet. I don't think they want to go into this half-cocked because it's been going on so long.
I think a grand jury is around the corner. And that's
if not already set and ready to go,
I think that's what they're doing.
If you listen,
I think we will find out a little more information about that.
But if you listen to all these so-called confessions that they're telling everybody, the law enforcement's got their hands full as to sorting out the truth in all this. I mean, because they're being told so many different things.
That's why a grand jury can be really a useful tool in that wary, because they're going to put people under oath under the penalty of perjury, and I think that we're going to see it relatively soon, especially with the those cases being adjudicated around the drugs.
Right.
Indeed.
I have one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
As far as this Ron thing and the plea deal and all this, I don't understand this at all, and I'm sure I'm not alone on this. I mean, he's on videotape buying and selling drugs. So, you know, what is it? If he doesn't know anything about Haley going missing, then how can there be a plea deal? This is confusing.
Well, that's what we're going to probably find out here in July when if and when this all goes down. I know he's entertaining it, and it appears to be a go. But I think from what I've been told is that he's looking at 15 years as opposed to, 45 he might have been looking at?
Well, no,
and,
it was way more than that.
Oh, yeah, it was probably, I'm sorry, it was, it really was. Tommy's was 45. Misty's over 100 years, I guess, the potential for sentencing. But in this case, it appeared that Misty was the one who was the central figure in this just by the amount of counts that she has against her. And to solidify this and to perhaps put pressure on Misty to cough up more information since she was the last person to see Haley, this would be the best way to apply the pressure, as our old friend Cobra would say, to burst a pipe or two. I think she probably knows now that he's been offered that plea deal. I don't think that that's gotten by her. I think she fully knows that that's on the table. And it'll be interesting to see here between now and the next court date with Ronald what transpires, if anything.
Right.
So,
right.
But I think it is a leverage tool. And to offer Ron 15 years... To scare her, it might be in their best interest to do it. He'll be off the street for 15 years for a trafficking anyway. By the time he's out, I don't think he'd want to have any taste of prison life after that.
Yeah, but I don't think that they, I think the caller's point is that they don't need anything.
Exactly.
They don't need anything from Ronald because they have the videotape. However, I can tell you that he does know what happened to his daughter, and there are things that are easy to read. If you go back to the Geraldo interview, and this is a very simple technique. Ronald, did you ever hit Haley? I never, ever, ever, never, ever, never hit her. Did you ever hit your woman while she was pregnant? Never, ever, never, and ever, never did I ever hit my woman. Did you work for the police? No, I didn't work for the police. Are you a narc? No, I'm not a narc. And to see the very difference for him is apparent. Take the same line now and go on to the further questions where he talks about Haley, and he is clearly being deceptive about what he knows. So
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, there is a value in...
I've thought from day one that he was involved. I don't know exactly how. I don't know whether he was fighting with Misty over the three-day bender, and somehow Haley got in the middle of it, and he, you know, backhanded her, and she died later, or she got into medication, something. But I think that Ron knows what's going on.
One thing about the hitting and stuff like that on the night that she died, there were other people who had been in that trailer after Ronald had left, and I haven't heard anybody come forward saying that the child had a bump on the head or a fat lip or tummy ache or something like that. I haven't seen or heard that, and I've been ever since that came out, I've been kind of replaying in my head those things, and nothing is sticking right now at this point. But it is something that a lot of people seem to think it could have happened.
Well, try to get a read on which grandmother actually went to the house, what time she went to the house, and did she go into the house, or did she just drop off only the children's clothing? Because she refused to wash Ronald and Misty's clothing. She would only wash the children's clothing.
Babies, yeah.
Did she go into the house? Did she? The first time we heard it was Teresa, and then said no, it wasn't Teresa. It was Teresa's mother, Miles' grandmother, that did that. So I'd like to hear a little more on did she?
I have
lay
to go back
and
listen to that.
Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And also, has it ever been confirmed by law enforcement that Grandma Sykes did indeed go over there? Has that been confirmed? I've heard it from Grandma Sykes, but I've never heard it from the police.
What did you
actually
hear?
Johnny Greenwood screwed it up, and he said that Teresa Neves had been there. He said that on tape with the Gainesville Sun reporter. I think it was I can't remember the reporter, but yeah, he got a couple of things mixed up, or a couple of things that he stated according to Putnam County that weren't things that were. Contradictory to other things that have been reported as well.
Not only that, but Teresa Neves was reluctant to talk about that night. She avoided the question on the Nancy Gray show about who went over that night. So it was clearly a sensitive issue in Teresa's mind. Why it's sensitive?
She was there like a bat out of hell. I mean, she was there very quickly.
With Haley's picture.
Very fast, yeah.
Yeah. I
got to tell you, well, that's okay.
Why has she disappeared from the media spotlight now? That's another question I have. Why has Teresa disappeared from the media? She was.
I don't know. To be quite honest with you, she was very willing to be there front and center. And hell, I was there interviewing her and everything else on Headline News, CNN, and a few other outlets, including my own. She was very easy to talk to, and all she wanted at that point was just to find the baby, and that was it. I don't think she really cared about anything else other than the child. And I tell you what, I saw that woman just, you know, nearly break down and in pieces like I've never seen a human being break down in pieces. I'll tell you, what you see on TV and what you see in person are two different things.
Right.
My read on Ms. Neves interacting with her in person is probably a little different than most folks who would see her on TV. I mean, I heard people say, oh, she got a facelift. The woman never got a flipping facelift. They got a hell of a makeup artist.
Makeup,
I tell you what, they took four chins off me. So, you know. I've heard the bull roar from, you know, the criticisms against Crystal. Sheffield, too. And I got to tell you, I've met with her a few times and been on TV with her a few times, too. I got to tell you, folks, some of the criticism from the folks who just see from TV and don't get a chance to talk to the people are a little bit off base, because, like I'm saying, you know, what you see on TV or what is represented on TV isn't exactly the real feel of a human being when you're right there with them. And, you know, sometimes you can get a mixed message, or sometimes you can get a totally positive message or a totally negative message. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not an expert. I shouldn't be saying that. But I've interacted with all of these folks. I have a little bit of sympathy for each and every one of them. But I also have a great deal of disgust for each and every one of them in the same breath, if that makes any sense.
I have one more question. What's going on with this Donna Brock? I mean, we don't hear about her. We're not hearing her tapes. We don't know.
They're not giving it to us.
Anything.
They will not. The St. Johns County Jail is not releasing any of those. They only had the one, and it was a very brief one.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, how much she's involved in all this. I mean, obviously she's involved. She was with Misty hanging out with her, and I guess they were raising hell going down the road, and then she was arrested, so...
That's kind of post-Haley, but I think a lot of this drug case is going to hinge on her. Believe it or not, I think Brock might be the sorriest one of the bunch when this drug case is all said and done.
Right. I wonder why they won't release Donna's tape, though. I mean, I wonder...
Well, I think they have good reason. No, I think, again, it goes back to even what TJ said about what we see on television and what some would see that's pre-cut can be very different. I think that they probably have a lot of good information on those tapes that they can't share with us.
Yeah, they're, you're right.
Oh, indeed.
Okay.
I want to come back to that actual very question, but we do need to move ahead here. We have another caller who's been waiting online patiently. Someone coming in from the 561 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Well, my name is Angel, and I'd like to refocus this back on the Kaylee Anthony case, because if we have to rely on the Anthony family to give honor to this child, we have a heck of a long wait, you know. But I read the latest discovery, and there's two pieces that I got from it, and I wanted to know your opinion on how significant this would be. Number one was the fact that they found Kaylee's hair in the grave wax, whether it was in the napkin from the trunk of the car. That's number one. And question number two is what I saw as conflicting right within that own report was George saying that the garbage came from the body of the car to one person, and the garbage that was thrown away came from the trunk of the car. So he's inconsistent right then and there, and they picked it up. I've been very concerned about this case because the players for the defense aren't playing with a full deck mentally, as far as I'm concerned. Casey Anthony is not getting the best defense possible. I mean, I'd like to know where the $345,000 went, other than the $89 to Jose and the $22 to Andrea Lyon. I'd like to know how Andrea Lyon's little foundation for the indigent can give someone who's not declared indigent $70,000. I mean, she can give me $70,000, and then I could spend it and be indigent, but it doesn't mean I should get it. There's a lot of things with this case that's not really good. And if I had a defendant who was innocent in jail, I wouldn't be having her sit there 2 years, or 3 years, actually, till trial before we would get it and put forth my defense to show that my client was innocent. What do you have to say about that, guys?
Who wants to go first?
Well, first of all, it sounded pretty rhetorical, but I mean...
I think it's a pretty good question, don't you?
Well, it is a very good question.
About the defense, I mean, not that, I mean, because I do believe, in my own personal opinion, that Casey Anthony is definitely guilty, but you're right. I don't think she's going to get a fair. Her lawyers is sending her to the wolves, as they say. I really don't think. I think they're after this for themselves. Not
yeah,
that,
but
don't
you
have
excuse me? Haven't you read Mickey Sherman's book? How do you defend those people? I mean, really, I mean, sometimes a lawyer has to do the best thing for their client, and the best defense would have been a plea deal for Casey.
No, I agree.
Either that or bizarre, you get a mistrial somewhere down the line.
Mistrial's not a good thing. Look what happened to Phil Spector on a mistrial. Juror number 5 hung the jury, you know? I mean, when did Kenny Bodden droned on and on and on and on and on and on and on for days on closing arguments? Mistrial is not where they want to go, because then they have to start all over again, and it's even more negative publicity. If you have a client that's truly innocent, the last thing you want is mistrial. You want a acquittal.
Oh, in this case, good luck.
Yeah, there's no way.
Well, I don't want an acquittal on this case, but I'm just saying that look at the severity of the evidence in this case. How can the defense not plea out? And it's about the me syndrome. I'm thinking the hair and the grave wax. The child had to be dead to have hair and grave wax. Therefore, that places the child in the car. Whether that one decompositioned hair can be explained away or not, there's just the hair and the grave wax.
Well, what Dr. Lee did as a defense, working for the defense, is confirm that there was a dead body in the trunk of her car. So, but to take a step back from it all, and even if any of us were to put ourselves in the shoes of Jose Baez, knowing everything that we know, I see no defense for her possible other than begging for a plea. But if he can't talk her into that, what can he do? I don't agree with the shenanigans that goes on, but I don't know how I would defend her.
Maybe he's not letting her. Maybe he's not advising her to plea, because if he pleads, just like look at how quiet it is on Melissa Huckabee with Sandra Cantu.
Right.
She's pled. The mother of Sandra Cantu says, I want the forensic sealed because I don't want my family. I don't want, the child to be dishonored. And you have to respect the Cantu family for that decision.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want any media sensationalism. And look what the Anthony family has done. They've sold pictures. They would have sold autographs. Cindy and George would have sold autographs if they thought they could get away with it. Look at where the Internet has gone on this. I mean, they went on cruises. They got tattoos. George got an earring because Casey would like it. It's one thing to stand behind your daughter. Right or wrong, it's their daughter. But dishonor their granddaughter the way they did, I hope they burn in hell.
Oh, there's a real hot spot just waiting for them, I imagine.
Why do you think they haven't charged the Anthonys with obstruction? They're going to get on the stand and plead the fifth anyway.
I think they're not willing to taint anything that their case right now with Casey. They're not willing to churn the emotions against the grandparents. I would not, however, discount the fact that once that trial is finished, I think George and Cindy, who don't have immunity like Lee does, I think they're going to be facing some real serious troubles.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said it's not over yet.
It's not over.
It's a game of chess at this point, and I think everybody's well aware of that you don't make your move too soon, and that's why I think they say, that what's that cliche, the wheels of justice is mighty slow.
Well, they may be right now avoiding the tactical shot, but strategically they have a good long-term view. They've done an excellent job in this case, and that's why I trust that when it's done, or even close to being done, and it's gone to the jury, if it goes that far, I think that's when George and Cindy need to be very nervous.
Why do you think that they gave Lee immunity? What was it that you think he got immunity for?
Ooh, don't know.
Must be something, because you know what? They denied immunity to the Anthonys, and the Anthonys asked for it, too.
Yep.
I think I'm asking some pretty good questions, but maybe you should move on. I think maybe you should move on to another caller, because I still would like to, you know, hear what you think about the evidence on the Anthony case, but I think Jose's in an indefensible position. My $2 goes on the prosecution, and I think they played it straight from the shoulder.
Well, mm-hmm. even though I said at the beginning that I don't have a defense for Casey Anthony and I wouldn't want to be in Jose Baez's shoes, it does not excuse the fact that he has churned this on and over so that he could glean as much publicity as he could out of it.
I
have heard a report down there that he now charges, I think, 3 times per hour or 4 times per hour what he used to get before he met Casey Anthony.
He's still ineffective.
Yeah, I mean, he's bankrolled this one, and the problem is that he may ride it so long and so dangerously that he could end up losing his job over it, being disbarred.
Well, I think he should have been disbarred over a few things so far, and I think that if Judge Carey looks into the financials, he just may be disbarred.
I think he had an inappropriate relationship with his client. I think that his own words are what revealed that to me, besides the actions. And I think that he is not a very wise in terms of wisdom, knowing what to do with facts. He's not a wise man, and I think this is going
to
bite him. And he's got people around him trying to shut him up.
If he gave her internet access on allowing his laptop to be in the jail and communication and pass notes, that's illegal right there. That's grounds for disbarment right there. And if through her own notes to the her jailhouse friends, she had communication with her parents through the attorneys, isn't that grounds for disbarment? On an ethics violation?
Possibly. I'd have to research that a little bit more.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, fascinating though this is, we have to move on.
Great.
I want
to nice talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Don't be a stranger.
Yep.
I'm never a stranger. I'm just an angel. That's all in Florida.
Thank you for calling in.
Take
okay.
care, everyone.
I'm going to do this.
We have someone coming in from area code 706. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, how are you today? My name is Maria, and I have a comment, actually, on the Haley Cummings case. On the newest story that Tommy has given, one of his many infamous stories,
Maria.
He claims he's so scared of Joe. Yet, for some reason, Flo doesn't seem to have that same fear factor, and I kind of find that a little bit odd.
Especially since she's right there in Tennessee with him.
Right. We're talking 6-foot-something Tommy versus 5-foot-almost-nothing Cousin Joe. Yeah. I've got to admit, I don't see the fear factor there.
I don't either, and I thought maybe I was crazy. I might be a little bit crazy, but I don't think I'm that crazy.
Well, if you've been following this case, it'd have to drive you a little.
Well, I got a few more gray hairs, but that's about it. I don't know if it, these people are Casey or worse, so.
Yeah.
Well, I do appreciate you taking my call.
Oh,
thank
no
you for
problem.
Calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Benny, what do you think about the feds coming in and putting them all under the RICO Act?
Maybe that's what they need, Simon. Maybe they need a little federal intervention here.
Denny and I were talking yesterday with some less than stellar folks. Well, they're stellar now, but they used not to be. We had a long discussion about RICO, and it seems to me that, you know, RICO could work quite well in this case.
Yes, absolutely. No statute of limitations. It gets right around everything.
Right. We have another caller coming in. Let's grab that. Okay, caller with no name. I'm guessing you're coming in from Skype. What's your name or what's your question or comment for us? Oh, and Skype disappeared. TJ, one of the things that I caught on, you know, listening to some of these DVDs was Hank really, really just backing away from his own wife. Yeah. Doesn't seem to be much point in her doing the community service or me paying her fines. I mean, she might just as well do the time because she's going to end up in jail anyway. I mean, what do you think of this loving situation?
Hey, more beer money for me. You know, when you look at it, you know, you're looking at it from a person who has some issues, and money's scarce. He's the only one out. He sees it as a lost cause, throwing good money after bad. And he's rationalizing it that he might as well pocket that money and let Mama do the time. After all, she's not going to starve in there. I'd even put on a couple of pounds. I'm not trying to be a wise guy. I'm trying to you know, I've just seen some of these good old boys. Well, he's actually a Michigan boy, but I've kind of seen how some of these folks operate, and that seems like a very rationalized deduction for this fella.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed, and it's very much a reoccurring theme.
Kind of like a nightmare?
Not just in this set of tapes, but in all of the tapes, is that the constant whining about money. Jan, one of the tapes we listened to was Hank talking to Misty, and Misty fessed up that she had something like $140 in her account.
Yeah.
And she was going to share.
He asked her to send him some of it. So she tell him, well, she'll send him maybe $20 or $30 to Tommy out of her money. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Peter, I know that you like to work on exact words, you know, rather than our, you know, pricey of something. But what do you make of the fact that they are all so hung up on money?
Well, I think we're looking at people that, and someone, one of the callers had it on target there, is they live for the moment. And the moment is the next high. And if I grab this VCR and I sell it for $20, I can get 20 milligrams of OxyContin, just like that. So I think they live for the moment, and they have an expectation that society is responsible to pay their bills. And how soon did Dad Croslin get a car from the bounty hunter that it was suddenly reported, quote-unquote, stolen? You know, that was obviously just traded in for drug money, and they can chuckle about it on tape and all that. But there's a mentality that says, you have to take care of me. Money must be taken from your working paycheck, and it must be given to me because I'm not going to do it. George Anthony had the same mentality as we compare the families. I mean, this is a guy that wanted to game the system for every disability he could.
Right.
Well, I've heard of the same thing with, can you imagine your 18-year-old daughter is in prison or in jail, and you're the dad, and she says, come see me, Daddy, and he says, well, I don't even have gas money. That's really rough. So I think that's the core of the matter here. I'm sorry?
Did you get to the core of the matter right there?
Yeah, I think there's a something that has so dramatically changed. When I was a young guy, and I'm getting up there in years as some of you are as well, I remember one of our neighborhoods in New York where...
Jan's only 21.
Some folks came in, and they would eat the dirt off the ground before they took government money. And I look at it 25 years later, and the same people and the same store owners and everything else have been really successful with that drive and initiative. The Croslin clan doesn't have that. Their business was drugs. They probably ate into a lot of their own profits by their own use. But it is a very selfish and incredibly narcissistic type of issue to deal with. So it's not by any surprise that Misty would say, hey, bail me out first. I think on the latest tape, Misty is denying that she threw Tommy under the bus. I'm looking on the internet now as we're talking. But it doesn't surprise me that that they're going to rush to have a race to the finish line of who can throw the other one under and make the best deal first.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. And by the way, you know, don't let this kind of behavior that the Crosslands are engaging in out. Our president and some folks in Washington, D.C. would never like to hear the thing that socialism doesn't work or it makes things a little bit kooky like the Crosslands. But I appreciate the analogy of that.
Well, we used to give out fishing poles, but now we give out fish, and it's not helping anybody. And it,
no, it's not.
And it's I work with people on a regular basis that are not quite the Crosland, not quite the Wendy, the reference you had to the strange family, but there are many people that I meet that are in Ronald's age, 26 years old. What do you do for a living? And they show you a government check, and this is what I do. What are you kidding me? I play video games all day.
I'm entitled to this. It's the entitlement. Let some other dumb bastard go out there and start a company and let those other dumber bastards work for him. I've seen the type.
And they're a product of that, and not only are they incredibly
they're
demanding.
They're proud of it.
Yeah, they are. There's a certain – if you look at that video, this is really fascinating. Look at the video that's been played ad nauseum after Haley went missing, and there's a group of people going through that trailer park, and they're walking this slow shuffle, and they look like they're being supportive of Ron and Misty. And my wife, Heather, calls that the entitlement shuffle. It's, I'm walking here. You get out of my way, you'll be sorry, I'm owed, for whatever it is. When I read about Ronald going into the restaurant and demanding free food for everybody and showing off his $200 tattoo, and I thought of that little girl, and I said, oh God, no one cared about her. I'm telling you, from Ronald's interview with Geraldo, he beat her, he beat Haley, he beat Misty, he beat Crystal. And the worst part about that, I think, the most injustice about the part with Crystal was terrified of him, and Crystal was an easy target for Nancy Grace, and Nancy Grace bullied her right off. And I've looked at that repeatedly. I've looked at the wording that was used, and she took a fellow woman who was a victim of domestic violence and pummeled her and said, you don't know what time she got off the bus. And what she could have said was, hey, if you live with a guy like Ronald, do you think you'd be calling saying, what time does she get off the bus? No, you don't mess with someone like that. I'd have a hard stomach trying to behead a rat and put it in someone's mailbox. I think it's kind of commonplace for those folks. They are violent, dangerous people.
Simon?
Yes.
Can I just, I don't want this to be specific to the Crosland case because I don't know really this Joe Overstreet or Tommy and how tough they really are and so forth. But we were talking a few minutes ago when a caller called in about the intimidation factor and that, you had some big brutes and would they really be intimidated by Joe? And, again, I'm not applying this specifically to the Crosland situation. I just don't know. But generally speaking, size isn't always it. It's how vicious and what a person's capable of. And if you think that person... maybe you're only willing to duke it out with somebody with your fist, but you know the guy you're thinking about getting in a scuffle with is willing to come at you with a knife or a pipe or a gun, you can be intimidated, even though you might be physically bigger, maybe tougher.
Take a look
maybe you got bigger muscles.
You're right. Take a look at Joel Overstreet's MySpace piece, picture. He's pointing a gun at the camera.
He's
pointing a handgun at the camera.
I'm sure that's interesting.
Oh, okay, but Joe really doesn't have much of a background. If he's this ugly dude, you'd expect a bit of a jail record.
Yeah, he could be a tough guy wannabe, but there is that element where if you're driving along the street and someone is harassing you, and I'll tell you, if someone's willing to pull over. Or you really, really want to get involved with someone that may come out and God knows what they're going to do. It's become a very dangerous world, as we talked about last week. It's become a very strange and dangerous world. But Joe Overstreet, the only way we could predict any type of violence from him would be about his history. And what we heard from Misty apparently wasn't true. Misty called him a sex offender. He's not on the sex offender registry. She called him a dangerous guy. And as far as at least the press has been able to find out, we don't have a history of violence from him. So I don't know.
No, we don't. We also don't have a juvenile record that we can get into either. So
that's right. And it could be a very violent juvenile record, but we just don't know yet.
In fact, TJ, in one of the tapes, Joe Overstreet is discussed, and Misty, as I recall, changes her story.
A couple times.
Yeah, it wasn't Joe that took Haley. She just had a dream about it.
Yeah, she is, yeah. Suddenly that changed, too. Just like everything else, just like the bed was made, oh, wait a minute, no, it wasn't. I did the lottery, no, wait, somebody else did. We looked under the beds, oh, wait a minute, the beds are on the floor. It's changed an awful lot.
Okay, we do have a couple of callers on the line, and please be patient with us. That there is one question that I want to put out to the panel before we take more callers. Jan and I have spent a good deal of time watching these latest tapes, and we've both came to the same conclusion. There is a huge lack of redaction. Is this a message? TJ, you've probably spotted the same thing.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking two messages, possible messages, I should say. One is, you know, scare the crap out of Misty, which has kind of been the mantra for, I don't know, 14 months. Scare the crap out of Misty. Scare the crap out of Misty. There's enough there to scare the crap out of Misty, that's for sure. The other might be that maybe what these two are blabbing about have absolutely nothing to do with the case any longer. And so letting those out gives folks like us and the consumers of news of this nature, you know, something to discuss while they go on to bigger and more promising leads in the case. And I'd almost bet on the latter.
Really?
But I said almost. Because I think that's the turn they want you to take.
the one thing I can get.
You got to be a little bit smarter than those who are presenting the trail of nuggets of corn there for you to munch on. So, you know, I'm going to stick with what's going on here and hoping that it scare the crap out of Misty mantra.
I can guess that it will be worth watching Nancy tomorrow night.
Well, she might have to, you know, she's a few days behind now.
Right. Oh, well, of course, maybe Michael
Did I say that?
Michael Jackson might die again.
No. Or Lawrence Taylor could find another 15-year-old.
Jen, I mean, do you agree with me? You know, this lack of redaction does seem to be interesting.
I think it's done on purpose. Of course it's done on purpose. But, you know, everybody says it's to scare Misty, but it's not only to scare Misty, because her story's come out, too. It could be to try to scare somebody else, like Tommy. I mean, he started singing, too, once Misty's story come out. It's really kind of hard to tell in this case, because you think one minute they're going after one person, and the next minute you think they're going after somebody else. And then it's turned around again, all again, once, you know, with another, the next tape. It's like they're going after somebody else. It's really hard to tell. But apparently law enforcement must be up to something. At least that's the way I see it. They must be
up. Ms. Jan, could it be possible, Ms. Jan, that they're giving us some of this red meat while they perhaps maybe look at... Heard a lot of rumors about the Sheffield side of the family on this, and I don't know because I don't even see the smoke, let alone smell or see the fire. But you know, the rumors are flaring up, and I don't know if it's just somebody just starting BS just to be starting BS because they feel like the people they're supporting is getting, you know, hit hard.
It wasn't Crystal they brought down to the dock.
Yeah, and Jan is definitely a person that is listening to them. I know that she really feels that law enforcement have let the Sheffields
off too easy.
Yeah. What's the scary Sheffield?
I think Johnny Sheffield is the scariest out of all. I mean,
he does have
some background in law enforcement. He's not a stupid man.
Which one did Jen say? I'm sorry.
Carry on, Peter.
Which Sheffield?
Johnny Sheffield. Crystal's daddy.
Crystal's dad, okay.
Yep. Yep. Apparently he scares everyone.
Well, like I said before, I just don't think that they went far enough with it because they're quiet, which, okay, everybody says, well, maybe they're not supposed to be getting involved with this or involved with that, but there's a lot of rumors going on, and they do have, I mean, you go online, and there's Facebook, there's MySpace pages, there's Twitter, and people are taking to heart what they're reading on these things, but they also don't realize perhaps these are not really Crystal or Marie writing these things also. And they're taking this and they're going, I mean, it could be all just to start trouble on it. We don't know. We don't know if it is them or not. But if it is, I mean, there's a lot of questions that should be asked if it is true. But then again, like I said, you don't know.
Okay. Let's take some callers. But I do want to give you a little quote from one of the tapes that we will have up later this evening. And it comes from Hank Croslin talking to his daughter, talking about Nancy Grace. She's just a wannabe journalist. I did enjoy that one. Okay.
He called us something else too, you remember?
Pardon? No, but I'll find it. We've just been sunk in these things.
No, this is going back a little bit prior. I'm always amazed at how the parents talk to the children talk to the parents and the cursing and everything else. But he said, Nancy Grace ain't nothing but a retard. And she said, yeah, that's right, Dad. And I thought for sure that she was going to have that on the program.
Now, this one that Simon's talking about is when he was talking to Tommy, I believe, wasn't it, Simon?
Oh, maybe it was.
Because the reason is because they were talking about how Misty was spending the money that she had, and that she had a whole list of things that she had bought, and they said that it would be probably announced on the Nancy Grace show. And that's when Hank says you can't believe nothing they say, and that's when he called her a wannabe journalist.
Yeah, I actually had some other less than nice things to say about another journalist, but we won't go there.
No.
Okay.
Did they ever find the stolen car?
we have someone coming in from the 815 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, everybody. Happy Sunday to all of you. My name is Patrice, and I just wanted to comment about the tapes that I listened to, like, I believe it was just yesterday, the latest ones with Misty's dad, Hank, and Misty in conversation. I believe there was a total of about 2 hours of those tapes, or maybe an hour and a half. Just wanted to comment how down and out this family truly must be when the father said he cannot read or write, he can't get any kind of work, of course, because of all of his other breaking of the law sorts of things he's done, of course, but he is not able to read or write, and his wife cannot read or write. She can't even be a waitress because she can't read a menu. The only thing she can do is clean. Now she has a felony on her her record, so she'll never be able to get a job. And, you know, you kind of just see this repeating itself into the next generation. Nobody's got a darn chance in that family. Just a comment.
Oh, I'm in total agreement. Denny, you've been
yes.
quiet for a long time, and I hate it when you're quiet. I mean, what chance did or does Haley have if she is still alive? I mean, when you look at the family, you go, my God, you know, how do these people exist? None of them have jobs. You know, Hank, in the tape, willingly admitted that he doesn't know how to read or write. One of the tapes we listened to just before we went on air was Misty saying, I want to get out of here because I want to get my GED.
Well, it's really an incredible... It's sad, certainly, on the one sense, but it was mentioned earlier... There was some speculation, you know, when one of the callers, I believe, whether Ronald was involved in this. And my opinion that to one degree or another, this whole clan was involved in this. And let's say that Ronald didn't participate or have any direct involvement with Haley's disappearance. But Ronald contributed to the environment that led to the disappearance. Nobody in this thing that I can see has clean hands. Now, their involvement, you know, will be by degrees. Somebody obviously was directly involved. Others were involved in the sense they allowed the situation to develop, to exist, that put this child in the danger she was obviously in. And was it a breakdown of society? Is that where we're at? Is that why this happened? I don't know. And I don't want to get into that because you can spend a lot of time on debating that issue. But I dealt, when I was a deputy sheriff here in Central New York, I dealt with a lot of, not a lot, but some what we call clans or tribes, and it kind of reminds me of the Croslins and so forth. And it was very frustrating to deal with, and from the law enforcement side, at least my personal perspective was, look, maybe these people didn't get all the breaks in life or whatever, but they still shouldn't be committing crime. So I never was real sympathetic in that sense, in the sense that they should get a free pass on whatever they did. And I don't know what happened in Florida. I don't know about the child protective issue and all that stuff. But I think all the key players in this thing have dirty hands, to one degree or another, and whether it was society's fault, whether there should have been some sort of safety net to prevent this from happening, certainly for Haley there should have been. Something should have been in place to get that kid away from the environment she was in. That's my personal opinion.
Peter, this sounds like something in your realm of expertise. You know, did Child Protective Services really fall down?
You know, I don't think so. And Denny spoke very eloquently and with much empathy. I think that the same laws that would protect Denny's children and his grandchildren so they can't be removed from his home are the same laws that people can slip through. State laws will say that the child must be reunified with the family. You must, before you can remove a child, you have to offer parenting classes, you have to offer counseling, therapy for everybody. And there's all these supports, and what they're doing is they're going in and pleading with a parent to stop hitting, screaming at, or being nasty to their children. And it is just not something that works very well. Ronald he talked about an agreement, daddy-daughter. What he's talking about was a child and parent safety plan that he signed, likely where he agreed he wouldn't hit her in the face because he had done that before, or he wouldn't hit her across the back of the head because he had done that before. The reason the child protective workers put that in writing is so that when someone witnesses that the child was hit in the face, they can then go before a judge and say, this is why we must remove. We've offered counseling. We've offered therapy. We've offered parenting classes. We've done everything we can, and this is his signature. This is the date, and now we have this little girl with another bruise across her face. And another thing that Denny said, which was, I thought, very strong, was about everyone being involved. Take a look at Haley's face, and what we see, perhaps, is the dab, the drug-affected baby, or fetal alcohol, that she may have had her eyes a little bit further apart, for instance. She was likely born with drugs in her system, so this is a... these are families that generationally have abused and neglected children. But if you take drugs, and if you abuse drugs this way, you think of yourself first. When you start coming off that high, those children are in the way, and you're irritable, and you're angry, and they're in jeopardy.
I mean, I just see a problem. Jan, you know, Well, I'm 54. You'll be 21 tomorrow. you know, our kids are grown up.
My kids are older than I am.
Yeah. There you go. But I mean, what's wrong with the world? What's changed in the, you know, in the time that we've been growing up?
Well, I don't really know, to be honest. It's a very, I wouldn't want to have to be having small children in my, I mean, to raise right now. I think a lot of the authority for the parents has been taken away from them. I mean, I remember when my oldest son was 16 and he was joking around and told me, you know, if you just slap me, I'm going to call him and child abuse. And, I mean, it does stop it, but I don't know if that's what you're asking me or not, but it's different, and I don't really know.
Okay, let's go back out to the phone lines. We have, hopefully, someone from the 859 area code. What's your name, and what's your question or comment for us?
Yes, my name is Todd, and... I have a couple of comments. First of all, thanks for everyone who got the DVDs online. They've been really interesting, you know, to listen to. My first comment is something that Misty said to Hank about not having a key. She said that she had gave the key back to Ronald and then said, you know, I don't even have the key, but you know who does. And then I think she was referring to Teresa. And my other comment is, I'm not sure who this person is, but it was on the tapes. And Charlie Jones, I believe, was the name. And Hank referred to him as a snitch, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hang up and let someone else call. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I heard the same comment on the tape, and I'm still trying to mull it over. Did you catch on to it, Jen?
I'm sorry, I was typing. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Oh, about her not having the key. And she couldn't possibly have done the breaking and entering.
She gave her key to Ronald. She said that she had given the key to Ronald. Is that what you're talking about?
Right.
I don't know, because they did say that the door had to be unlocked with a key, didn't they?
Yes.
So if she didn't have, if this is true now, I mean, if she didn't really have a key, somebody had to have opened that door. I don't, because even from the inside, you had to use a key, wasn't it?
That's what we're being told. I don't know.
I believe
that,
remember hearing that a long time ago, that they said that you had to have a key to open it from the inside. Now, I could be wrong, but that's what I remember anyway.
Okay, Peter, we're hearing a lot about Cousin Joe, but no one seems to be able to actually finger him. You know, in my opinion, he just makes a really, really convenient scapegoat. What's your view?
When he was on tape, he said that I didn't do it. And believe it or not, that simple statement goes a long way. If it's said in an open statement, not in response to a question, but an open statement, percentage-wise, people that say that openly, without any being promoted to say such a thing, statistically, they didn't do it. And I think that he is an easy target, and I think that we all must remember that these tapes, that no matter what intellectual level these people are at, they know and are playing towards those tapes. They know the audience.
Okay. I'm not sure that was true in the early days.
No, I'm sorry, but since that time, like the last tape with Tommy, he sounded rehearsed to me. And he was talking about being afraid, and I've got to do that, I've got to do now, and I've waited a long time to do this. He sounded absolutely rehearsed to me. He did not sound...
That part did, yes, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, no, in the beginning, I don't think they knew they were being taped, but I Misty even references a few times when she looks up into the camera that she knows it's going to be on the news tonight, or it's going to be on the Nancy Grace show tonight. Early on, no, but later on, they played the tape well. And I think they've one of the problems they've had, and this is what I think you were alluding to before, when law enforcement released these things, they've done so for a purpose. They've done so strategically, and I think they're doing a good job of playing one against the other. They want each other to hear these things. One problem they have, perhaps, is the intellectual limitation that Hank has, Senior, where he can't really orchestrate between one child and the next, getting information across. So I think they're getting information out, and I think they're probably doing a very good job of it.
Oh, I think so. Danny, I don't know
yes.
if you've noticed this trend, shall we say, but that SDLE, PCSO, the St. John's folks, love to do everything either late Thursday or early Friday morning. It's almost as if, you know, they're throwing firecrackers out and going, okay, you folks can run with it over the weekend. We don't have to deal with it for 2 days.
No answering questions. Denny's still with us?
Yes, I am here, and that's a good point. And obviously a strategy at play there. That seems to be... probably, like you say, they get it out there over the weekend or approaching the weekend and let it run its course. And by the time the Public Information Office or whatever opens Monday morning, it's old news.
I also think that there's a strategic element to that in that it may not be that they're afraid of the press running things over, but there is probably no attorney over the weekend that can go and reassure the people in jail, oh, don't worry about this or don't worry about that. They've got to sit on that fear right through the weekend.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think you have a very good point there. Unfortunately, we lost TJ. I'm guessing the battery on his phone died again. I think next Christmas, I am going to pass the hat around. You know, we'll buy him a phone or at least a new battery. We're just about at the end of the show, so I want to go around the table and get everyone's parting thoughts. Jan?
Okay, don't take to heart what everybody's saying right now until they come out with the truth. I mean, you have to remember all this is just words right now, and keep praying that little Haley is found because she's the one that's the most important here.
Denny?
Yes. If you don't mind, Simon, I'd like to take my little bit of time here just to mention something, actually three things. One is happy birthday to Jan. And she should, however, I want to advise her that probably now that she's going to reach legal age, you may be less tolerant if she calls in sick in the future. Secondly, I'm very excited. A week from Tuesday, the new show I'm involved in called Crime Wire debuts on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to be looking at cold case homicides, unsolved current homicides, and suspicious death cases. And my associates in that are domestic violence expert Susan Murphy Milano and renowned private investigator Vito Colucci. And we have several consultants on board with us who are network attorneys and network legal analysts. And we also have a statement analyst by the name of Peter Hyatt, who is going to be consulting with us on some of our cases. Peter, thank you. And we will debut, and I'll probably try to mention that again next week. And the other thing, Simon, hopefully you and I can get together on that email you mentioned earlier and see if that can be pulled off.
Oh, the scary email.
Yes.
Let me build the bomb shelter first.
Okay.
Peter, your parting thoughts for us.
Happy birthday, Jan.
Thank you.
The articles that you and Jan author at bloggernews.net are excellent, and the obvious intelligence of those that read them and comment on them is evident. If any of them are able to transcribe any portion of the interviews and they can send them to me, I'd love to analyze them and have the material prepared for the show. I think it would be useful.
I will certainly mention that, and we do have some very keen listeners, so that might be entirely possible. And we are flat out of time, so I want to thank everyone for taking part in the show today, and I'm sure that we'll be doing it again next week.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Thank you all for being here.
And for the listeners, we are working diligently on the other three DVDs. Should have them up either this evening or tomorrow. Till next time, this is Simon and Jan, wishing everyone a great Sunday. Goodbye.
Bye.